Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 25. The Lord has of recent revived my heart on a Bible character by the name of Jacob. And so I want to preach to you some of those fresh thoughts that he has given me. Genesis 25, verse number 20. We'll begin reading there. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian, of Padan-Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out, red all over like a hairy garment. They called his name Esau. And after that came out his brother out, and his hand took on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents, and did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field. He was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point of to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he sware to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Now I want to look on over, if you will, in chapter number 27. And verse 1, it came to pass, when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim, so that he could not see. He called Esau, his eldest son, said unto him, "My son," he said unto him, "Behold, here am I." He said, "Behold, now I'm old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow, and go out to the field. Take me some venison. Make me savory meat, such as I love. Bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." Verse number 22. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." He said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him. He did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." He came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, and the plenty of the corn and wine." Verse 30, and it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, but all his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, "Let my father arise and eat of the son's venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac his father said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I've eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed." And Esau heard the words of his father and cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, Thy brother came in with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved the blessing from me? And then in chapter number 32, we'll pick up in verse number 11, or verse number 9. Jacob has left, and he has gone some 700 to 900 miles to Mesopotamia. He's run from Esau because he's got word that Esau's going to kill him over this birthright and blessing deal. He goes to his uncle Laban's, and he gets in a mess up there over the wives and the cattle. Stays up there some 22 years, and then he has to leave by night to get away from Laban. He's coming back to this place, but he's going to have to face Esau, and that's what he's afraid of on this night. Verse number 9, Genesis 32. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Verse 11, Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. Verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him, as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. You may be seated. I love to read the story of Bible characters. But to be honest with you, it seems to me that Jacob reminds me of myself more than any of the characters. You may have heard about the old farmer that was plowing in the field before the day of glass mirrors. And he plowed up an old piece of brass, shiny brass. He picked it up and he looked in it and he thought it was a picture of his father. And he said, Wow, that's picture of my dad, I'll save that. And he took it in the house and put it in the cupboard out of the way. His wife saw him slip it in there, so she ran over to get it after he had left and thought he was hiding something and pulled it out, and she held it up and looked into it. Of course, she saw a reflection of herself, but she said, There's that old hag he's been running after. Well, I'll tell you the truth, there are some reflections that you see in the Word of God that hurts. And as much as you don't like it, you realize that it is there and it is speaking to you about who you are. And it is here tonight that we want to look at Jacob's story and let God use it to speak to our hearts as to who we really are. And as we look into Jacob's story, simply tonight, there are three things that I want to bring to your attention that will help us to understand. The first thing that I want you to notice from the scriptures that I've read in your hearing is that Jacob's story is one of a dual personality. If you'll notice back in the text that we read in chapter number 25, verse number 23, the Lord said unto her, Two, I'm talking about dual, nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. Verse 24 said, And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, there were twins in her womb. On the day that Jacob was born, someone else was born. It was a time of dual personalities. There was Esau and there was Jacob. But yet as we look at Jacob's life, we realize that there were a lot of twos. His life seemed to be a life of twos. Two brothers, that's found in our text. And then he goes off to Mesopotamia there and ends up with two wives, the two daughters, of course, of Laban, Rachel and Leah. And then in chapter number 32, we find out he's got two names. One is Jacob, and of course, the other is to become Israel. His identity seems to be one that involves two. Not only for him, but as I've meditated upon that, I've found it to be so in my life. I really think that we're all what I might call schizophrenic. There are two sides to everybody. There's that likable side, and then there's that unlikable side. Seems to be two personalities that protrude from us. There is that Esau, and then there is that Jacob. Wouldn't it have been a blessing if on the day that Jacob was born, that Esau would have not have been born? Or at least he would have been a stillbirth. In that case, Jacob wouldn't have had anything to wrestle over or anything to fight about. Because as early on as in the womb, they are struggling in verse number 22, they are fighting. And Rebekah takes it to the Lord and wonders why. There's a war going on, God said, inside of you because there's two in there. And they both want to be first. And anytime you got two, then somebody is going to try to prevail. Both of them are going to try to win out. And as is in the case of Jacob and in the case of Esau, so it is within you and I. There are those twos that seem to be warring. If it wasn't him and Esau, it seemed to be his two wives that were causing trouble. Somebody said, well, praise God, I've only got one wife. No, you got two. Somebody said, well, I only got one husband. No, you got two. You say, what do you mean? Well, I'm talking about the part you like and the part you don't like. The part you married and the other part you just soon not married. That two that you have to confront, and then those two names. If Jacob hadn't had to put up with Esau, and somehow if he could have just got Rachel, not had to have Leah, and why didn't God just call him Israel to begin with? Why has he got to have that tag of that name of Jacob, which from the beginning means the heel catcher and the cunning one, the trickster? And of course, involved everything as far as who he really was, a liar and a cheat and so on. But yet he was confronted by the fact that there seemed to be two all the time in his life. And anywhere there's two, you just mark it down, there's going to be trouble. And the reason why there was so much fighting and so much hell and so much confusion in Jacob's life is because he never could embrace the one. There was always the truth, the two that he was having to confront. And I say to you that this other guy is the guy that seemed, and I'm emphasizing especially tonight, the Esau that he seemed to be confronted with. This other guy that seemed to be so close to him, he is his twin. Every time he looks at him, he sees himself. He is his twin. He's the other guy that seems to have everything that he wants. Esau is the one who is born first, and by the natural rights, he's got the birthright and the bulk of the blessing. And it is something that Jacob wants, but he can't have it as long as Esau's there. And so he finds himself struggling. He finds himself conniving. He finds himself bartering with Esau to try to get what he thinks Esau's got that he wants. And so the fight is on. Because that there's two. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if it's just you? Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody just let you have it your way? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you were the only one? And everywhere you went, People recognize you as the smartest and as the most talented one. Everybody seemed to bow to your whims and your theories and your ideas. And there never was no Esau that you had to contend with for that position, for that throne. And there never would be no Leah. There'd always be that Rachel that just thought so much of you. The one that just really petted you. And the one that thought you was so handsome. There wouldn't have been no Leah that was so ugly, so to speak, to you. But somehow you could always have the upper hand, and you could be on the top. You could be the number one. Wouldn't that be wonderful if everybody treated you as if you were the most special person in this world? But I got bad news for you. That ain't ever going to happen. There's always going to be the Esau. There's always going to be the other person. The one that seems to make you feel less. The one that reminds you that you're not out in front. The one that intimidates you as to your success. The Esau that was first. Always making you feel like a second-class citizen. But you know, there is a purpose for this too. God could have, in His own divine purpose, let Jacob be born alone. It was no accident that Esau was brought into this world. Esau is just as divinely appointed as Jacob ever was. Somebody said, why? Well, I'm going to tell you why. If it hadn't been for Esau, nobody would have ever had the nerve to tell Jacob how low down he really was. So God brought an Esau along because Esau don't mind telling you what he thinks about you. Esau's that character will point his finger in your face and say, listen, you're not number one material. You couldn't run this thing even if it was given to you. You're not as smart as what you think you are. As a matter of fact, you're a first-class dummy. The Esau that needs to test, because the truth of the matter is, Jacob does not deserve that number one position. There's nothing he can ever do to achieve that number one position within himself. He was born second. That's not Esau's fault. Jacob was born second into this world. He was the number two child. And he had to have Esau to remind him of who he really was. And can I say to you tonight, thank God for the ordained Esau's. The other half of life that doesn't pet us and I tell you, doesn't pamper us, but on the other hand, doesn't mind telling you who you really are. Now, we don't like the Esau's because we don't like to hear that. But if it wasn't for the Esau's, we'd never know that. So what God will do is He'll bring an Esau in your life. It may be the boss. Oh, they like I say, they can be close and they'll be constant. Seems as though they can be anywhere. They can be everywhere. Even if Jacob somehow was able to get rid of Esau, it ain't going to be far long before he runs into a Laban who makes him feel just like Esau did. Seems to run his life and won't let him achieve like he wants to achieve. He's constantly facing these others, the two, that somehow presses him and forces him down and tries to give him that makes him feel less. The Esau, the two. You ever had a two? Well, now let's just get down to the nitty gritty. You ain't got any of them in your life, have you? You don't work with any Esau. How about your neighbor? How about your wife or your husband? That don't mind telling you how they feel about you and who you really are. They And nobody can tell you like your wife can. That's right. I told mine the other day, I said, honey, I'd be scared to death to talk to the man of God the way you talk to me. She said, right now you're my husband. Those people that somehow won't let you shine, that somehow press you down, the two. Jacob's story is one of dual personalities. Always that other guy. Always that other guy. The second thing I want to point out to you is his story, Jacob's story, is not only one of dual personalities, the Esau. But his story becomes one of a degenerate personality. Now, when we pick up with Jacob's story, where they're born into this world, the Jacob and the Esau, sort of on level ground. But I don't know about you, the further along I go in the story, the more I think of Esau than I do Jacob. If it wasn't but for the fact of what we know, that Esau despised his birthright, if it was just from the outer that we were judging these two men and by the way they treated people and the way they treated one another, I'm going to tell you, if I had to have one of them for a neighbor, it wouldn't be Jacob. I'd a whole lot rather have Esau. Because Esau's not the one doing the fighting anyhow. He can't help. He's born first. That's just the way it came about. But it is Jacob that is causing all the fuss. And somehow he thinks that Esau's got what he wants and what he desires. And he's the one that's causing the battle. And the further along we go in the story, the worse poor old Jacob becomes. You just think he's went to rock bottom and then he does something else. He begins by beating his brother, trying to, out of the blessing by selling him a bowl of soup because he's hungry. Now, what guy of any kind of morality, moral concept, wouldn't give his own brother a free bowl of soup? But instead, he's trying to barter with him and sell him a bowl of soup for what he's wanted from the beginning, his birthright. And when he thinks that he's beat him out of that, later on he even goes into his daddy. We read the text there, where the scripture tells us that he lied to his own daddy and told him that he was Esau so that his daddy would bless him instead of Esau. You see, the important factor is that in those days, if a man had more than two sons, the eldest son got the totality of all that the father had, and the younger sons only got gifts that he would give them. Jacob knew that. And so he's struggling, he's holding on, he's gripping, he's fighting, he's choking the life out of the situation, trying to get what he thinks that Esau has got. But all it's doing is making him a worse person. Or could I say, not making him a worse person, but revealing what kind of person he really is. Now, the truth about Esau is if there had to been an Esau, we'd have never known the true Jacob. If Jacob had been the only son born to Isaac and Rebekah, can you hear the talk in the community? Boy, I'm going to tell you, you know Jacob, the son of Rebekah, and he's such a wonderful boy, ain't he? You notice how he's just such a sweet and kind and blessed kid? Well, sure he is. He don't have an Esau to fight with. But God gave him an Esau. Now, you and I and everybody else begins to see that there's some things inside of Jacob we'd have never known unless Esau brought it out. Are we awful spiritual here tonight? Yeah, I mean, we can just smile and be real Christian-like to one another and shake one another's hands and hug one another's neck here in church. But honey, who knows what Esau's going to show up before you get to the house. You let one of them run you off the road or get in front of you at the lunch line on Sunday afternoon and you get that telephone call, let Esau rise up in one of you youngins and all hell break loose and you begin to say things and do things and act ways that nobody ever knew was in there. God brings an Esau into our lives to show us the Jacob that's in us and what that Jacob is like. Now I want to make a statement and my wife will verify it. I am a wonderful husband. Thank you. I'm glad y'all know me. I am a tremendous father. I am a great Christian. A marvelous preacher. As long as I get everything my way. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? You same way. You look so sweet and so pious. Well, I'm going to tell you, I couldn't imagine that you'd say or do anything wrong. But honey, I've never been around when the Esau broke loose. I hadn't been there when Esau's looking at you like that. Face to face. And I'm here to tell you again, don't blame that Esau on the devil. The same God that brought Jacob into this world brought the Esau into this world. He's the one that has that guy on the job there. He's the one that put that neighbor over there. He's the one that put that Esau in your life to show you who you really are. He brings forth the Esau and he lets Jacob look at Esau day after day after day after day, and all it does is bring the hell out of Jacob and he begins to see how rotten he really is. Esau's just a good excuse. He ain't the problem. Jacob's the problem. Oh, bless God, if Esau'd move off, something happened to Esau. You think that'd solve the problem? You think he's the only one? It won't be long till a Laban shows up. There'll be a Leah in there somewhere, and one young'un that'll run off wild, and honey, you'll have that Jacob rise up in you that's gonna have to be dealt with. I used to have an old Ford pickup. Not the one I got now. I did say an old little one. Brother Ken, I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't have minded getting that truck and starting to California in it as long as I was on the smooth road. Because I found out that if I took that truck off onto a gravel road or a bumpy road, because I did in the mountains, that as soon as that road started getting rough, that there's some sediments in that gas tank that began to break loose. And it'd suck it up into that carburetor, it'd choke two or three times and shut her down, and I'd have to have her pulled back to the house. I'd have to take the carburetor off from it and clean out all the junk and everything, get it settled down real good. Then I could drive it. I mean, there wasn't no limit. I wasn't afraid to drive it, as I said, from here to California. But honey, if I run over a bump, I was in trouble. Bad shape. And I say again, we may think we're pious. We may think we're good. We may think we're somebody. But honey, there's a whole lot of Jacob in us that ain't been seen yet. Because the right Esau hadn't come along to punch him, gouge you just a little bit, squeeze you just right, and tell you that you ain't number one. And to get in the back and shut up and sit down. And old Jacob began to rise up. And when Jacob begins to rise up, honey, that's the real you that's in there. Oh, he begins to degenerate instead of improve. It seems as though God uses Esau to bring the worst. You know, a lot of folks think that what God does is he brings people into our lives to make us good. But no, honey, he'll bring people into your life to make you mean. and mad. Why? Because it's there anyhow. It has to be seen. Little Esau never hurt nobody. Matter of fact, he is an absolute. If God's going to deal with the Jacobs in you, Esau's got to be there. Huh? Esau's got to be there. Little Esau never hurt nobody. Matter of fact, I guess we ought to just thank God for our Esau's, because if it wasn't for him, we'd never know the Jacob. Why, he'd be able to hide. He'd be the worst Pharisee ever was. Could you imagine if Jacob, with what's in him, had been born first? You're talking about hell on earth on everybody else. Religious and pious and pharisaical, looking down on everybody. Because he never had to face his Esau. But oh, I'm going to tell you, God used old Esau to bring Jacob to the place that he could see who he really was. He brought the Jacob out of Jacob. Huh? And before you go blaming your Esau's on the devil, use them as a good excuse. If it hadn't been for Esau, wouldn't have got mad. No, you just had mad in you and Esau brought it out. If it hadn't have been for Esau, I wouldn't have lied about that. I wouldn't have lied. Honest, I wouldn't have lied. No, you had lie in you. Esau had to bring it out. If it hadn't been for Esau, I wouldn't have made that deal. I wouldn't have beat him out of it. Honest, I wouldn't. Yes, you had beat in you. Esau had to bring it out. Huh? God's got you a blessed Esau. He's got you a blessed Esau to show you who you really are. That dual personality that you can't seem to get away from. It seems to degenerate you and bring you to your worst. Bring you to your worst. Because your worst is in there. Honey, you're meaner than a junkyard bulldog. I can look at you and tell. Huh? But the only way anybody's going to know it is God's going to have to let Esau move in close to you. Or bring Esau out of somebody in your family. Every day you got to look at him. It'll run you crazy. It'll make him mad. It'll bring fight out of you. Esau. Jacob's story is one of a dual personality. It's one of a degenerating personality. But can I say to you lastly, thank God, Jacob's story is one of divine personality. The truth of the matter is, if God hadn't showed up on the scene, there wouldn't have been no hope for Esau nor Jacob. But God has a focus for Jacob's life. Now, Jacob, if he ever had a focus, he lost it. I'm of the opinion he didn't know what he was looking for anyhow. But God had a purpose for Jacob. He had a plan for Jacob. He never lost focus of that plan. But what he's got to do is he's got to have an Esau to drive Jacob to him. And I notice that, if I've counted it right, there are four encounters that Jacob has with God Almighty. Four blessed encounters. I don't know about you, but I'm surprised that God would spend any time with somebody like that. But I'm even more surprised he'd spend any time with somebody like me. But I got good news. Every now and then he does show up. Every now and then he does make an encounter and a visitation to this old buzzard. But you see what he's got to do. If you'll notice in the text we read in chapter number 32, he's used Esau to drive him to this place. The whole reason why he's here this night is he prays in verse number 11, Lord, it's Esau. Esau's on the way. He's 93 years old and he's still having a problem with the other guy. Well, that ain't comforting, is it? I got a long ways to go. I'm 52. And that night, he's troubled about Esau, and that's the same night in verse 24 that he wrestles with that angel. There are four of those encounters that I've noticed in his life. I notice at Bethel, he meets the Lord. God visits him at Bethel, and he said, this is the house of God, Bethel. He encounters God at Padanaram and he said, boy, this is the promises of God. He encounters God at Mahanaim and he said, oh, the hosts of God, the army of God. And then here on this night, he encounters God at Peniel and he said, I've stood face to face with God. I have seen the face of God. But here's the truth of the matter. See, God wants to keep us focused. So what he'll do, and you see if this ain't so in your life, what he'll do is the Lord will visit you just like he did this morning. Your pastor was talking about it. He'll visit you real good, and then tomorrow he'll send Esau by. That ain't no accident he'll show up tomorrow. One of the signs you've had a good meeting is Esau will show up. Somebody said, why? Because God ain't done with you. Just because he showed up and saved you don't mean it's over. There's still a lot in there to be dealt with. So you send the Esau by to remind you it's in there and shake it up. Then he'll come on by again. And he'll bless your ride real good again. And then a little later, he'll send the Laban by. And he'll stir up a bunch in you. He'll visit you. Then he'll send Esau. He'll visit you. Then he'll send Esau. The same God that visits you will send Esau back. Why? Because he's got a focus. He's going to keep on dealing with the Jacob that is in us till he gets us to heaven. You might as well get used to them Esau's, honey. Now, they ain't going to quit. Them Labans and all those other things, they're coming. They're coming. He'll visit you. And just mark her down. Esau will be waiting on you. Won't he? Huh? Have you experienced that? I'm going to tell you, in my life, the way I've experienced it, I've had the Lord visit me, and then about five Esau's come. Then he'll visit me, and then there'll be seven Esau's come. In one fashion or another. But you know what he's doing? He's using Esau. And here's the thing about it. You'd never ever see the Jacobs in you, nor never sense your need of God if Esau hadn't driven you to it. There's so much about God you'd never see and you'd never experience and you'd never even want if Esau didn't drive you to it. But Esau can drive you to God quicker than anybody else. I done told you, I don't want to call out who your Esau is. Who knows what it might be or who it may be. I'm going to tell you something. What God's trying to do, he's trying to bring you to the place as he did old Jacob. In the next chapter, you know who shows up? Esau makes it. And you know what the Bible said that they do? Chapter 33. The Bible said that Esau comes and lays his head on Jacob's shoulders, and the Bible said they, plural, wept. You know what Jacob's doing? He's loving his Esau. He's off that bed for you, buddy. I wouldn't have been here tonight. I wouldn't have seen the Lord. Me and the Lord have been talking, but you're the one that broke me here. Praise God. I was talking to a preacher who had pastored many years. He had a deacon in his church that somehow rose up against him successfully. And At the same time, the deacon didn't know, but God was dealing in the heart of that preacher to go into evangelism, but he's having a hard time doing it. Turning loose. So God gave him a big old Esau. Ah, he said that deacon rode him like riding a horse clean out the door. Into evangelism. He's been in evangelism probably about 15, 18 years. I said, well, how do you feel about that deacon? He said, I'd like to hug his neck because God used him to get me to where I'm at. There's a whole lot of God that you ain't seen yet and a whole lot of God that He wants to show you and He wants you to experience at these Peniels and the Hanims and Bethels and all these other places, but He knows you're not coming unless Esau drives you there. Oh, when you'll get out there alone with God and say, Lord, I sure do need you tonight. I've been talking to Esau today. It don't look too good. God began to manifest Himself to you because of your Esau. Lord, I could write a book on my Esau's, couldn't you? The people and places and things that caused me trouble. I thought they was keeping me from my blessing. Esau, if it wasn't him, I'd get my blessing. I'd have my blessing. No, Esau's driving you to your blessing. You just don't know it. Huh? Esau's letting you know you don't even deserve a blessing. You know, this thing closes out. In this matter of divine personality showing up in Jacob's life, using Esau to reveal himself to him. He's got the focus in Jacob's life. He's using Esau to drive him to him, to God. It's a matter of focus. But can I close with this thought? You know what Jacob learns on this night as a result of Esau? He'd have never known this had there not been an Esau. Thank God for Esau. Because it was on this night that Jacob learned that he didn't have to be first. He didn't have to be the strongest. He didn't have to be the best. He didn't have to have everything that Esau had. It wasn't a matter of that. It wasn't a matter of being first. It was a matter of favor. God had favored him. Let Esau have what he's got. He don't need it. God has favored him. He left that place that night. Esau drove him to God. He's about to go crazy over what Esau had. He just thought he wasn't going to make it. I'll never make it as long as Esau's alive. And God said, Jacob, you're Israel. As a prince, you've got power of God. You low-down scoundrel, I'm going to bless you in spite of who you are. You stinking rat. You lying and cheat. Here's what. But if poor old Jacob's mama had been spiritual enough to have told him what God told her the day he was born, or before he was born, did you look back in chapter 25? What did the scripture say? There's two nations in there, but he said, the elder shall serve who? Hey, Jacob, it ain't a matter of being first. It's a matter of favor, boy. Turn that heel loose. You don't have to hold on to him. You're squeezing him to death. Let poor Esau go. Eat your bowl of soup, boy. You don't have to dress up like Esau. You stink. Look at you. You're acting just like him. You don't even like him. By the way, catch a good look. Sometime if there's a person you really don't like, when they ain't looking at you and you can, take a long time and stare at them. You know why? Because you're just seeing yourself. Huh? You're just seeing yourself. You're just mad because they got a little more of you than you got yourself. He said, come over here. Come over here. Are you my son Esau? You my son? Oh, you feel like Esau. You smell like Esau. Jacob, I said it before you was ever born, son. I'll tell you tonight. You've wasted 93 years of fighting and struggling and everything. But it really hadn't been a waste. God used old Esau to drive you to me. So I could just tell you one thing. It ain't first that counts. It's favor. And I'm glad at Calvary I've been favored. Can you imagine him years later? Oh, I didn't even mean to throw this in, but I'll close with it. He's, you know, he wrestles that night. And he smites him in the hollow of his thigh. He limps from then on. And somebody said to him, Jacob, and you know he probably was asked several times, what happened to your leg? See a little grin come over. He said, well, it all started with Esau. So this Esau character, who is he? Oh, he's my brother. Your brother? But you don't like him, do you? Oh, yeah, I like him. I love him. Because he's the one that drove me to where I'm at. So I could see God in my life in a different view. And live under the auspices and blessings of his love. Don't you like that? You know, a lot of folks like to talk about God being fair. And I've said it here before, but I'm glad that my God's not fair. Because if He'd have been fair, I'd have been in trouble, wouldn't you? Somebody would say, well, preacher, I don't demand God be fair. Yeah, well, why is it you get so upset when things don't just go the way you think they ought to go? It reminds me of some kind of sport, maybe football. When they pull that whistle out and blow it because they think something ain't fair. There's been something that ain't fair, and they blow that whistle. How many times have we blowed that whistle out and blowed it on God? Oh, hold it, time out! Blow the whistle, it's been a foul! This ain't supposed to happen in my life! How come I ain't first? I got the rule book here that says that you ain't supposed to do it that way, Lord, and I think I got a verse to go with it. And I can hear heaven say, how is it? Review, they review. Them plays, they review them. Is that what they call it in football? You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Replay.
Heaven says, after no further replay, the play stands as called. God don't have to explain it. All He's got to do is favor you. And it's all taken care of. All taken care of.